Judges chapter 1, please. Let's all turn there, and then we will, if you don't have notes, I'm sure Frenchie has a copy he will gladly give you. So Judges chapter 1, please. Judges chapter 1. Sharon Vasilovich used to say it regularly in my presence, this statement feels like home. And sometimes when you're dealing with people, you wonder why they cannot get out of the mess they're in. It's because it feels like home. That's the way you're supposed to be. That's going to be my introduction tonight, you'll see, but we're going to read and look at broadly some ideas about the days of the judges. And I think one of the things that we struggle with is it feels like home to the people in that day. And for us, we have a hard time even reading this book because it's so weird. Let's stand. Judges 1, verse 1. I'm only going to speak on Judges, I think, 2 more weeks on Sunday night. I have 2 more ideas I want to go over. I need to spend a lot of time in chapter 2 rooting out the reason for the judges, and I need to do a little bit more with another idea, but I want to actually not talk about judges on Sunday night. I'm just trying to actually fill in Sunday morning. This all started with Lois. It's 100% Lois's fault. And I don't know if Lois is interested, but it makes me interested because it's a very important subject. Especially, please look at me. How does a person that calls themselves a Christian steal from their own mother? Answer the question. Steal from their own brothers and sisters. I'm asking you a question. How do you do that? And would consider himself or herself quite a bit more spiritual than the rest of the family. If you haven't read it, I don't know where it's at. Dietmar wrote a lovely thank you note. Yes? Everybody, they got to read it. By the way, why do I not ever get thank yous from some people? About anything. Someday, I don't know. I would always assume that a person would grow in grace. Feels like home. I'm not speaking to you. I'm just speaking in general, friends. Verse 1. Now, after the death of whom? It came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against us? And the Lord said, she's right over here, Huda. That's the reason for the rest of my lifetime, Huda is in charge. We're going to look tonight at some broad ideas about the distressing days of the judges. Let's pray, folks. Father, thank you. Help me tonight as I share some simple ideas and as we try to grab some big ideas, big pictures from this book. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have in your notes 2 statements at the top. When you are in it, it feels like home. By the way, regardless of how bad it always feels like home because it is home. When you are at a great distance from it, you assume it's like home, which I think is one of the reasons we struggle with judges, because it's so weird. So let me begin with a short story. I have not seen this individual since 1975. That's a long time. Evan, how old were you in 1975? Negative 22. So if you add your wife's age and your age together, you're just about 1975, backwards. Well, friends, I grew up in a small country area. I went to a small grade school. And being from a rural area, you pretty much went to school from first grade to 12th grade with the same group of kids. There was about 18 of us, give or take 1 or 2 or 3 or 4. 1 or 2 came in later, 1 or 2 disappeared, but it was about 18 kids, and we all grew up in that grade school, and we didn't have kindergarten. That's the reason I can't read and write. But we started in the first grade, we went all the way to 12th grade. We were friends, By the way, you didn't have a choice not to be friends. There's only 18 of you. Who are you going to be friends with? It's the whole group. Pretty much everybody got along. Some days not perfectly, but most days. I grew up with this young man for first 12 years of my, well, 18 years, till I was 18. He wasn't my best friend, but we grew up together. I knew him fairly well. He had two brothers. He lived, and I just cannot express, you know, what it's like where I grew up, but Fieldon's, you know, kind of out in the cornfields. And the moment you leave Fieldon, you have to go down some kind of a holler. You mean down into a ravine in valleys, and then you go up in the top of the bluffs. It's just every place you go except if you go east. So he lived down a different holler than I did. But I knew where he lived. I went down one holler. He went down the other holler. We actually only lived a couple miles apart if you went through the woods. I knew him well. He was left-handed. He was a tall, thin guy. And you have to understand, I was tall and thin then too. I'm twice the man I used to be. But friends, he was really skinny, about my height, 6'2 or so. Really, really skinny. I don't know if he still is. He loved basketball. I never cared for basketball. And the most important thing I can tell you about him is either a sophomore or a junior in high school, he and two other friends, one of them was a guy I grew up with too, meaning out in the Fieldon area. Two of us, the one guy, Ronnie, joined in about fifth grade. So Ronnie and Bruce got saved, and I mean really got saved in high school. I don't mean religion. They got saved all over. A third guy got saved during the same period of time named Mike Whitlock. I don't know whatever happened to Mike. I have no contact with him at all. But those three guys, Mike was from a different area of Jersey County. They got saved and they came to school, and excuse me, school and every place as Christians. And they knew I was a Christian. That didn't make me look good. Say, where do you want to go with this, Pastor Warren? Oh, by the way, Ronnie Crank's a pastor today. Bruce Kendall goes to my sister's church, the guy I grew up with. But friends, what's home? Look at me. What feels like home? I did not know that my friend grew up with a father that was a stumble-down drunk. He drank one case of Pabst Blue Ribbon every night. No matter how tough you are, friends, you can't stay sober drinking that much. He would go through one case of 24 every night minimally. Now, can I ask you a question? Do you understand the ripples of that in a family? Do you understand other things happen in family? Now, by the way, here's Ralph. Did you read the first two lines? When you're in it, and when you're away from it, you assume, what did I assume as a kid? His home was more or less like my home. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you the ending of the story. Bruce lives around, I have not seen him since 1975 when we graduated, but he lives down by Springfield, and he goes to church with my sister, and he keeps asking me if I'll come. You know, he wants me to come to their church. He wants to see me after near 47 years or something. Bruce's dad was working on the furnace, gas furnace. No, excuse me, not a gas furnace. We didn't have gas. We didn't have natural gas. You had those propane tanks. He was doing what? No? The propane tank got out of control, burnt him and his house up. The dad was gone, nearly vaporized. Feels like home. Feels like home. Folks, don't be surprised when you have people that you think are Christians and you just don't know what to do with them, because once you get into some habits, you think that's just what everybody does. We're going to talk tonight about the distressing days of the judges. Most of this will be easy. Most of this will be light. But may I say this to you? There's more weirdness in this one book than in the rest of the Bible. But it lasted a long time and it felt like home to these people. Because this is the crazy. Think about this. I remember the good old days. There's never been not politics in America, but the level of hatred in the last, it's been growing since Reagan. It started with CNN when CNN took its turn. Because CNN, shockingly, Evan, CNN used to be a news source. Can you all remember CNN being a news source? It was the best news source on earth. And then all of a sudden it became a political source. It's weird. Friends, talk to a young person. They think hate is the norm. They think hating people and taking... Remember what I preached this morning? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go into restaurants and yell at people. That's okay. In your notes, let's talk about some very basic things. Some of this is just real peaceful. There's no big issue with it. I say in number one in your notes, the judges judged over a long period of time. The thing that you will miss the easiest in the book of Judges is it's only one book and you think, okay, short book, let's move on. But actuality, it lasted a long time. When we look at the first verse of Joshua, it says, now after the death of whom? You see, what Moses never gets into the promised land. They leave Egypt around 1446 BC. They wander around. Moses gets to go up. He gets to see the promised land. He doesn't get to go in. And Joshua begins basically after his death with Joshua in the leadership. Well, you already know when Judges begins, correct? Joshua dies. So Joshua's come in, he's crossed the Jordan, he's split the country in two, gone south, gone north, taken care of business, and he dies. Which, by the way, what happens to leaders? They die. Then the country starts to disintegrate. Judges 11, verse 26. This comes from the story. This actually comes from an interchange of Jephthah with the Ammonites. He says in verse 26, while Israel dwelt in Heshbon in her towns, and in however you say this name, in her towns, and all the cities that are along the coast of Arnon, 300 years? Why therefore did you not recover them within that time? So friend, this is what we know. After the death of whom? Joshua, till Jephthah's time had been about 300 years. That's a long time. So when you're reading the book, realize this covers a long period of time, even though it's one book. And there's all these weird stories. 300 years, just up to Jephthah. Next in your notes, these are the two most important chronological verses, though I am not going to discuss them in detail. 1 Kings 6:1 says this, and it came to pass, in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. That's pretty specific, by the way, in case you haven't figured that out. Of course, 2 Kings gives testimony to the fact that the judges judged a period of time also. Now, I say in your notes, it's a simple warning. We cannot just add up the numbers since there is much overlap in judges. So you just can't go to this judge, and just add everything up. You're going to add up too many years because some judges were judging in the north, Samson was judging in the west, people were judging in different locations. But we know from the scripture and from these two dates several things. 1 Kings 6:1, the Exodus. I'm not talking about the book, I'm talking about the event. Happened in about 1446 B.C. We get that from many different sources and references, of which I'm not going to bore you. But 1 Kings 6:1 gives pretty exact information that Solomon began the temple on one day of one month, 480 years after this transpired. Secondly, Judges 11:26 means this, from Joshua's time, around 1400, down to 1100. So you have about 300 years when Jephthah comes to the scene, which gives you pretty much similar figures. So we're looking back at Moses, and from Moses all the way through the judges, then we have Saul, then we have David, then we have Solomon. We have about these 480, is that what it is, 480 years? You go back. If you chop off Solomon, you chop off David, you chop off Saul, and then you strike, we get this figures. These are not magic numbers. They're just working with text. I don't have all the text here, but some of them. So, 1 Kings 6:1, the Exodus took place around 1446. By the time of Jephthah was about 300 years after Joshua took in charge and went into the land and had conquered. And he's saying, why are you getting mad now? We've been in this land for 300 years. That's the idea. So in your notes, total year for the judges is about 340 years from the death of Joshua to Saul. There's a little bit of quibbling because But that's basically the reality. Look at me, friend. Is 340 years a long time? Have we been a country 340 years? That's a long time. Look at me. That's a long time to feel like. Say it. That's a long time to feel like home. Wow. It's hard to change habits. Does anybody have bad habits in here? Please don't raise your spouse's hand, would you? By the way, do we have bad habits? You better admit you're young. You're young. In your notes, total years for the kings, where the kings started with whom? Saul, right? You have the united monarchy, which is Saul, David, Solomon. Then you have the divided monarchy. You have Israel in the north, you have Judah in the south, and then you have the surviving monarchy, which is just Judah. That entire length of time took 450 years. So the period of the judges lasts nearly as long as the period of all the kings in one book. Strange, is it not? Number two, I am not going to try to prove this because we're going to be done by 7 o'clock. It's not even going to be a miracle. It's just going to happen. The judges didn't so much judge, this is a weird one, as lead and deliver. Even though the word means to judge, even though the word means to judge in other places, when you read about the judges, it specifically tells you, never really talks, with the exception of a couple, two or three, never talks about judgment. It's talking about a military deliverer. Actually, are you all ready for this? You don't have to read Hebrew. You can trust me on this. A couple of times it talks about a judge, a sophatim, one of the judges, delivering using the word we get Jesus from, Yeshua, because salvation. Rarely does it, we only have a record of a couple judges who actually judged. Most of them were just military guys that came in because we're in a mess, get us out of the mess. Quick as they got out of the mess, they went right back to sin. That's the story of the judges. I'm not going to read, but we're going to read the introduction, Judges 2. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals, Baalim. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, or the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth, which is interesting, one singular, one's plural. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. By the way, you should be learning the sovereignty of God. God is in charge of things. And when the people were stupid, God did something. It says he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. And as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up sophatim, judges, plural, which, you don't have to read that phrase. If you just trust me, it comes from the word we get Jesus from, or Joshua from. Guess what the primary job of a judge was? The judge was the military guy that came in and delivered them. There are a couple that actually seem to function as a judge, but most of them just function as a leader, some sort of a military leader. Look down in verse 18. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and he did what? Same word again. He delivered them. He saved them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. So I put those two funky words there. The first one is plural, sophatim. Sophat is the singular. So judges, both plural and singular, means to judge. However, the meaning is nuanced or tweaked by context. Folks, you always learn what a word means within a context, not hypothetically, unless it's a technical word, and this is not that technical. So basically, in the book of Judges, judges were a military deliverer or leader. That's what they did. Judges 3:9, one of the first occasions. Judges 3:9 says this, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. The Lord raised up a what? He doesn't even call him a judge. He calls him a deliverer, a savior to the children of Israel. Who did what? Who saved them? Who delivered them? Even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. But we don't know if he actually was a judge. And he went out to what? He went out to war, and the Lord delivered. And if you can pronounce the next word, I will let you. Judges chapter 4, verse 4. Now here's an exception. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of, I'm sorry, folks, when I see that, I always think lapdog. It does not say lapdog, but we know, by the way, look at me. Have you ever asked yourself the question, Deborah has to go get Barak. Where's her husband? Do you know why I called him? It's like the guides at home, honey, I'm scared. She had a husband. He wasn't much, by the way. Barak wasn't much either. Feels like home. I will say this, the beauty of Lake County Baptist historically has been its men. We've had a lot of men here. Most churches have no men. None. Ladies, if you don't understand the difference, and there's lots of lapdog men, and lapdog men are very good at thinking about themselves, thinking about how they feel, thinking about what's wrong with the world, why my wife, you know, yes, okay, we won't go any further. She did have a lapdog. Verse 4:5, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for what? So it does seem like Deborah actually functioned as a judge and as a military deliverer with Barak. Okay? We will skip all of these verses. Go back to the back page of your notes, please. You may read them. You will want to read them. These are all the references to Sophatim in the book of Judges. So, you know, these are not notes to put in your, you know, crook and cranny. These will help you understand this period of time. 1 Samuel 7:15 is the other main reference where you think, this sounds different. It says, and Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all those places. I think the only premier judge was a guy named Samuel. I think Deborah did some. We don't find much else. This is a case that's absolutely, he's not only functioning as a leader, he's functioning, by the way, he functioned in many roles. Prophet, priest, judge, leader. Samuel's one of the great guys in most ways. Let's look, if you would, in verse 17. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel. And he built an altar unto the Lord. Look down in chapter 8, verse 20. When they come and they want a king, the language is very, very interesting. It says that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king, Malach, or Melech, you know, Abimelech, Ahimelech, there's a lot of those. Elimelech, you got to spit. It just means king. They ask specifically for a king to do what? But they're not talking about be a judge. They're talking about what? Well, it tells us. We want a king that may judge us and go out before us and... You see, the whole history of 340 years, there were a couple people that seemed to actually practice what we would call being a judge, but most of them were just military leaders. Look at me, friends, and we're done. This is when you read the Bible. When you read about all these judges we're going to talk about a little bit later, you know what you're going to find? A vast majority of them are known for a couple of battles. That's it. Don't know much else about them. All right, number three. Number three is a weird one. The judges, by the way, judged 340 years. Everybody remember that? And the kings reigned 450 years, correct? Number three, the judges' record is recorded in a grand total of three books. And actually, it's pretty much recorded in two. You say, what are those three books? You tell me. Judges, 1 Samuel, and Ruth. But only in Ruth. We know nothing about judges in Ruth. We just know that that event took place during the era of the judges. So the strange thing is, look up here, friend, 340 years, long period of time, 450, longer period of time, This is included actually in 2 1/3 books, and one of those books is short. How about the Kings? How many books do they include? I was going to put this in the notes, but it's not important. Other than you see, it's kind of weird. The Kings' rule is mentioned in about 2/3 of Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Every one of the major prophets. Who are the major prophets? Yeah, thank you. Isaiah, you know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Dan, you know, all of those kind of people. Almost all of the minor prophets except the last three, plus the book of Psalms, plus the book of Proverbs, plus the book of Ecclesiastes, plus the book of Song of Solomon. The whole Bible is filled with the time during the Kings, but the weird thing is, if you just look at the raw numbers, Judges lasted a long time. We only get a little piece of it. I don't know what that means, but that's the way God ordained it. All right, number 4. The judges were not all of one kind. I decided not to give you references. If you want to study the Bible, you can find the references on your own. Is that correct? Is that correct? Some of you aren't sure. The judges were not all of one kind. I say everyone agrees with this, and then the agreement stops quickly. I am not in agreement with any of this anymore. I'm not sure. But I'm just going to give you the name. You have the names, the primary judges. And primary, if you go down to the bottom of that, is this. These are the judges that affected some kind of external deliverance, plus they judged for a period of time, and they had impact, and plus the amount of the text in Scripture. Meaning these are men that filled up more than one verse or one line. We generally call them something, primary judges. But my question is, and my concern is, I don't know what it would have been like if you'd have lived back then. That I don't know. Well, you have Othniel. He's one of your heroes, isn't he? You have Ehud. Is anybody here left-handed? Raise your hand. Rhonda, who else is left-handed? We only got one? Rhonda and Ehud doesn't really go together, does it? Rhonda's too nice. By the way, everybody knows the story. Strapped that long dagger on his right leg on the inside. Walked in, and I'm paraphrasing terribly. I have a present from God for you. By the way, he was related to Louis Hadash. You know he was. I have a present from God for you. And by the way, how many people normally? Normally it's 1 out of 10 is left-handed. That's the norm. Worldwide, throughout history. Most people are right-handed, so you're not looking for something hidden for a left-handed person. And he delivers that gift from God. By the way, all you need to do is pick... Louis, do it for us. Evan, I don't know if you've seen it, but you got to see it. Louis, do that thing you do with your face. Come on. Look at Evan. That's what Ehud looked like right there, brother. He's coming to get you right there. He's looking with that dagger. By the way, we don't know much about the guy. We just know he had a military victory. Here are some others. Deborah, and we'd have to say Barak is part of that because Hebrews considers him part of that. Gideon, Jephthah, Samson. Then there are secondary judges. Down at the bottom I say, these all served and led and possibly delivered in some way. Possibly. But even that, you don't really get the, you don't know. You just have one line. And folks, I will confess to you, as I was reading this over and over, I was thinking, I've read the Bible a long time. I didn't remember half these names. They're only found in one line. So if you read the Bible through every year, you read one line in about 1 second. I don't even remember these guys' names, most of them. I do remember Shamgar. He has a little more juice. But even he only has a verse or two. Tola, Jer, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, those are some strange ones. And then there's what I'm going to entitle this, shadow judges. I don't know where to put this guy, but he takes up one chapter of the Bible. His name is Abimelech. Was he a judge, or was he just a criminal? Or was he a guy that wanted to be king and murdered? Look at me. He murdered his entire family. Nice fella. kind of guy you want to hang out with. By the way, if you're going to read the book of Judges for hero stories, do me a favor, just skip Judges altogether. I'm going to name my son Abimelech. I don't think so. I don't know where to include him, friend. People include him, some don't include him. He's in the book of Judges. He has a whole chapter, but this is a man that was about evil, power, money, arrogance, murder of his own family. And then there are the overlooked judges. You say, who are the overlooked judges? It's the judges that aren't in the book of Judges. Who are the two judges that are not in the book of Judges? Samuel, the greatest of all the judges, is not in the book. He's in 1 Samuel. And Eli. We can name a couple others, but I don't really think they were judges. Samuel tried to put his sons in as judges. So friends, here are the judges. You got some ones that we know a lot about, more or less. We have some that we know very little about. We have one guy, I don't know where to put him. I don't know what he is. I do know this. I wouldn't name my dog Abimelech. And then we got guys that most of the time you say, who are the judges? People don't think about Samuel. By the way, friend, if you read the New Testament in a couple other places, it calls Samuel the first of the prophets. He's a judge. He rules. He's an actual judge. He's a prophet. He's a priest. Actually, friends, Samuel does more roles than anybody in the Old Testament, probably even Moses. He's a very significant figure. Well, we close tonight real simple. And we'll pick up here, obviously, in Sunday school. The judges were all complicated leaders. Ehud the left-handed. Can I ask you a question? In old ancient cultures, if you were left-handed, was that a good thing or a bad thing? It's bad in every culture. Even in Hebrew, friends, there's not really a word for left-handed. There's a word for, you know the word for Ben Yamin, that's son, Ben, of my right hand. But you would never call somebody son of my left hand. It's actually not a word in the same way. It just means, it somewhat means, when you call, in the Bible, when you call someone left-handed, is the right hand doesn't work. But God used him. Complicated. Barak, the cowardly. Gideon, the skeptic and the deceiver. Jephthah, the brigand. And who knows what else? Samson. Oh, I know. I'm going to name my son Samson. Almost nothing good about Samson. Friend, when you read the book, it's very complicated. Look at me, and we're done for the night. And then you read Hebrews 11, 32, and it calls four or five of those heroes, and you're like, the Sunday school for the next couple weeks, months maybe, is all going to be, how do we put that together? How can you have complicated people? I'll tell you how. Please look at me, and we are done. People that are part of Lake County Baptist are more complicated than I'd like them to be. I would prefer everybody to be simple. Are everybody simple? Is everybody simple? People have all kinds of layers. When you read Judges, maybe we're just seeing ourselves, but seeing what we don't want to see in an exaggerated form. All right, let's pray and we're done for this evening. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen.